Our scripture this morning comes from Mark 13, 26 through 37. I would invite you to read it with me, please. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as the twigs get tender and its leaves come out, ye know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, ye know that it is near, right at the door. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to earth. How many of us live our lives in that expectancy that he will come back again? Today is the first Sunday of Advent, and of course, as Pastor Stephen so eloquently reminded us, the season of Advent is a time for us to reflect on the coming of Jesus to earth. Now, as we look at the season of Advent historically, we reflect on it relates to the 4 weeks prior to Christmas. And historically speaking, the church has observed the first 2 weeks as a time to prepare or and reflect upon the second coming of Jesus, which is yet to happen. Whereas this last 2 weeks of the 4 weeks of Advent are designated for us to remember and prepare and celebrate the first coming. So this week and the next week, historically, the church has reflected upon the soon coming of our King and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there have been some who have speculated about the specific date in which the second coming will take place. Let me give you a piece of advice. Don't try to publish on Facebook the date that it will come, because really and truly no one knows. Only God knows. Others, some might wonder if it will really happen since this event has been predicted so long ago. As Pastor Jackie was sharing with us this morning, waiting is difficult for us sometimes. And our God calls us to wait. And sometimes he gives us promises, or we have prayer concerns that we have laid before him and we don't see their fulfillment, so we kind of begin to put those concerns and prayers to the side. May we never do so with the second coming of Jesus, because if the Bible is true, and it is, he will indeed come back again. This time he will not come back as a baby in a manger. He will come back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, ready to free us from all of the things that we have had to deal with as a result of the fall, and also to hold accountable those who have rejected his kingdom. There are speculations about his second coming. There are ideas. There are some who actually have gone out and predicted the second coming. Of course, they have failed. Their prophecies have failed. But my friends, a question for us this morning as we begin the season of Advent is, what does the Bible say about the second coming of Jesus? What information do we have that can be relied upon, that can be counted upon to give us accurate information? What does the Bible say about this most important event, and why is it important for us today? I would argue that in the passage that we read this morning, there are at least three main ideas concerning the second coming of Jesus that we would do well to pay close attention to. Number one, Jesus will personally and physically come back to earth. This will not be an event that, you know, well, he came in spirit and we didn't see him. Some might claim that they saw him, but others didn't. No, no, no. There will be no mistake that when he comes back, we will all see him. He was coming back physically and personally. Verse 26 of our passage this morning says, at that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. In the conversation that Jesus had with his disciples right before our passage, they were asking him some questions about the timing of his second coming. And he went on to describe and list a number of things that would happen before this event, although not necessarily in chronological order. But Jesus said to them that before his second coming, there will be religious deception, there will be political unrest, wars, natural disasters, persecution of Christians, among other things. Those are some of the things that were supposed to be, that are supposed to be as the backdrop of the second coming of Jesus. The conversation continues, and Jesus explains to them that after a period which has been called the Great Tribulation, his second coming will take place. Now, I believe, my friends, that at this point, it's important to make some clarifications concerning this idea of the Great Tribulation. There are some Christians who believe that believers will not be here on earth during the Great Tribulation. That's one school of thought. They believe that they will have already been taken away in what has been called the rapture. This understanding of the second coming seems to be a two-part process in which the rapture comes first and the second coming of Jesus will happen later. The second coming of him back to the earth. This idea, those who believe in this way, believe that Jesus will meet the believers in the clouds. We will meet with him and then be taken away. And then the Great Tribulation will take place, and then later on, Jesus will come back. That's one understanding. Now, others believe that Christians will be here on earth for half of the Great Tribulation, and then will be taken away by Jesus. Yet others believe that Christians will go through the Great Tribulation, be persecuted, and then be united with Christ at his second coming. As we can see, there are different interpretations concerning the second coming and the timing of it. But a clear look at our passage of Scripture and what the Bible has to say throughout the rest of the New Testament, it seems very clear that the main thing for us is not that we try to ascertain precisely, you know, when the date and time that he will come, but that we be ready. That's the bottom line, like we like to say. What's the bottom line? Are we ready for his second coming? Or are we ready to meet him if we were to depart this earth before that event? Verse 26 here teaches that the Jesus whom we love and worship but do not yet see will one day come again to this earth. Man, can you imagine? Can you imagine that day in which you and I will behold his face? Just like that song, I Can Only Imagine. Any of you know it? Surrounded by his glory, what will I do? Will I be able to dance? Will I fall at his feet and worship? What will I do? That's something for us to keep at the forefront of our hearts and minds, I believe, as we go through this journey of life. Someday you and I will meet him. And I'm sure that we will rejoice. We'll be ecstatic. And may we be found faithful when he comes and satisfied with what we have done on this earth to please him and to follow him. The second coming of Jesus When he comes, he will come as the sovereign King of kings and Lord of lords, and he will come ready to reward his faithful followers and also to hold accountable those who rejected and opposed his kingdom. The second thing that we see in our passage, my friends, is that only God truly knows the exact time of Jesus' coming. I don't care who tells you what. Only God knows that time and that day. Verse 32 says, "But about that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." This verse is very clear that only God knows when Jesus will come again. And I believe that Jesus now knows. At the time, he didn't know because he was not the resurrected Christ. He was still on earth with certain limitations. The Bible teaches that he laid aside some of his divine powers in Philippians 2. So I believe that while he was operating, he never ceased to be God, and he was operating under the power of the Holy Spirit, there are some things that he still perhaps didn't have in front of him because he had not yet ascended back to the glory that he had with the Father. So I believe that he now does know when he will come back. Because we do not know the time of Jesus' coming, our focus should be on staying spiritually awake, spiritually alert, ready for his coming, and taking inventory of our lives periodically. As Pastor Stephen alluded to earlier, this is a time for us to reflect and even fast and practice some spiritual disciplines to look inwardly to see where are we? How am I doing in my discipleship with Jesus? Am I following him? Am I being rebellious to his kingdom and his commands? Or am I submitting myself to him? Am I following his decrees, his precepts? Am I following his example? Am I valuing what he values most? Do I hate what he hates, and do I love what he loves? Or do my values contradict in any way, shape, or form that of his majesty, the Lord Jesus Christ? It's a wonderful time for us to engage in that type of reflection, my friends. I would argue that there's a third point, and one that bears repeating over and over again. In this passage, Jesus wants us to live ready for his coming. Notice the parable that we just read about, that it was us, just like a master owner or a owner of a house. He put servants in charge and he left. Now they didn't know when he was going to come back. You and I have been entrusted with this truth, the precious truth of the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit and the resources that God has given to us. And we've been faithful stewards of them to bring glory to God, to advance the kingdom of our Messiah, our Lord. Verses 33 and 34 say this: "Be on your guard." Now, this is Jesus speaking, of course. He said to the disciples, "Be on your guard, be alert. You do not know when the time will come." It's like a man going away, and he leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. What is it that God has assigned for you to do? For me to do? Are we being faithful to do those things which he has called us to do? It's so easy for us to get so entangled in life that we neglect the assignments that we have received from the Lord Jesus. My friends, we are very, very good at planning. Many of us are. We know how to plan for a wedding. We know how to plan for the arrival of a baby, do a baby shower. We buy furniture. I remember those days, buying furniture, and he didn't know when he was going to come, and doing all of the preparations. We know how to prepare for retirement. And as great as each of these events, these things are, they are temporary. Now, how well are we preparing for the second coming of Jesus? How well are we preparing for the time when we meet him? It's about taking inventory of our lives. It's also about us rejoicing. Because as we ponder upon this idea that our King will once again come back, will once again come to this earth, it's an idea and a concept and a truth that should infuse our hearts and our minds with hope. To know that this is not all that there is to it. There's much more, so much more. And in Jesus, all of our hopes will find their fulfillment. All of our greatest dreams and aspirations will be more than realized when we fall at his feet and worship him. When we lay our crowns before him, and I don't know what I'll say on that day. Maybe you have a speech prepared. But when the glory of God meets your face, and when his majesty, he looks right through our hearts, just like that song, Lord, you have come to the seashore, right? Which, you know, the choir might sing in one of these days. And he calls our name. What will we do? That day is coming, my friends. Whether he comes back to earth or we go up to meet him, at some point we will meet his majesty, the Lord of lords and King of kings. Are we doing our best to live by his teachings and following his example? And are we also allowing the hope of Advent, the hope of the second coming, to invade our lives, even our struggles? Are we allowing momentarily, even when we are faced with painful situations, do we allow this idea that he is coming back to just give us a few drops of hope during those most critical times? If he came today, how would you feel about facing him? How would we feel about how we have lived our lives, my friends? What we have done with his teachings, with his commands? I haven't done it all right. But I'm doing my best. And I know you are too. This is a perfect time for us to once again take inventory of our lives, how we are managing the knowledge that we have. Did you know that we have knowledge that it, you know, just recently I was talking to this person, and it broke my heart because she kept talking about all of these spirits and all of these ideas that were so foreign to the truth. A very bright person. But she kept referring to the energies of the earth and how the spirits come and they greet you and all of these things. I was like, wow, people are really confused. You and I don't have to guess. We have the real thing. In the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, came to earth. He came to look for you and to me and for me. We don't have to guess what God is like. If we ever want to know what he's like, let us just look at Jesus. He is God. One of these days, we will meet Jesus face to face. Are we ready? Are we living with that hope and expectancy? Are we also taking account to ensure that we are doing what the master of the house assigned us to do? That's an important question for us as we begin this Advent season to prepare, season to reflect on this most important event that will once again change history, just like his birth changed history. This second coming will change the history of humanity forever after. Let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity to come to worship you, to hear your holy word, to be reminded that one day you will come. Father, I pray that as we begin this Advent season, that you would give us the grace, Lord, to search our hearts and to welcome you afresh into the throne of our hearts. that you would indeed reign in our hearts and that you would be the one to whom we look to for guidance, for values, our principles, actions, patterns of thinking. May they be aligned more and more to that of your kingdom and your teachings, Lord. I pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, reveal in us perhaps areas that we need to surrender to you. Show us ways and show us the things that perhaps have not been done by us that you have wanted us to do. Oh, they might seem small in our eyes sometimes, but to obey is better than sacrifice. Help us to obey you in all that you have assigned for us to do, to be ready. Also, let the hope of Advent, let the hope of this second coming to fill our hearts and our lives with joy. Even when we're not happy, let it fill our hearts with joy and expectancy that one day there will be no more tears, no more pain, but just glory and wonder and worship and praise of you, Almighty King, to whom belong both power and glory, both now and forever. Amen.